So I'm going to share with you, because we're coming off of Purim last week, so the shaylas that I got last week a lot related to Purim, but not exactly related to Purim. One shayla, I don't even have to tell me which one you want to discuss, a fellow who was in quarantine, you know, like with these COVID shaylas, Rav Asher Weiss just put out his 650-page Tshuvas Corona that he thought would be a perfect time to put it out, because once you've gone through a whole cycle of a whole year, you figure, okay, so I already covered all of the topics that could come up in 1 year. But the Corona Shailas this year are different than the Corona Shailas last year. Meaning, Purim this year's Corona was different than last year's Purim Corona. Pesach this year is going to be different than last year's Pesach. I don't know if the guys have been discussing, or if Poskim have been discussing, what are you guys going to do about 2 days of Yantif and Pesach? You're not going to come home for Pesach, I assume, because it's risky. They won't be allowed back in the country. So you're there for all Sholosh Megalim. You can stay with Israeli families, maybe. So what do you do about 2 days of Yantif? I don't know. Well, you know, they're interesting Shilas. These Shilas didn't happen last year. Everyone just emptied out, except for KY. I know there are a few guys that stayed in KY all the time last year. But for the most part, most of the was emptied out over Pesach. But anyway, with these, so there were some new Corona Shilas also. So one Corona Shila that came up this morning was, I got a text from one of these group chats with Rabbanim, where one of the Rabbanim put that he wrote, Good Purim, which I guess is now an Eitan Katz song, so it's an expression. I don't remember that being, I always remember Purim Sameach being an expression. But anyway, Good Purim, he wrote. If someone is quarantined and was reading from an old family Megillah, and as they were reading from an old family Megillah, it separated during the Kriya, the Megillah Mamash fell apart in their hand, do they need to find another Kriya to listen to, or were they Yotzei, even though the Megillah separated mid-Kriya? So that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two, I also found interesting. A friend of mine texted me that his daughter has a friend. His daughter is a very nice, from young lady, and she has friends who are very nice, from young women, and she was at shul on Purim morning. Now, I don't know if you remember how it works in different shuls and different communities. On Purim morning, like, there's a shmua on the street, like, what kind of minion to expect, you know? Like, the minion that normally davens shacharis in 18 minutes on a regular weekday, you know, on Purim morning is going to have a kriyas ha-megillah that takes no longer than 18 minutes. And, you know, all together with shacharis and kriyas ha-torah and everything else, they'll have you out of there, you know, in 35 minutes, you know? And yet, there are other places that daven normally. And other places that daven a long daven. So this young woman, a very firm young woman, ended up at a minyan that she was unaware was going to be moving as quickly as they did. And she was davening Shmona Esrei on her morning, and in middle of her Shmona Esrei, she realized they were about to start Kriyas HaMegillah. So she didn't know what to do, because they were starting Kriyas HaMegillah, which means she was davening Shmona Esrei through Vakav HaMelech, through Kriyas HaTorah. It's a nice long Shmona Esrei. I'll get the Shudder resume if you're interested. But that was it's quite a Shmona Esrei that she was davening. And then she realized in the middle of Shmona Esrei they were about to start the Megillah. So she didn't know what to do. So she goes a little bit. So she stopped in the middle of Shmona Esrei, stood in place, listened to the entire Shmona Esrei, to the entire Megillah rather. And then when the Megillah was over, she continued her Shmona Esrei from where she left off. So now she wants to know, Aleph, does she have to repeat Kriyas HaMegillah? And Beis, does she have to repeat Shmona Esrei? Right, those are her two shaitas. And Gimel, what should she have done? Meaning that's what she did. Because, you know, a lot of these shaitas, they come up, you don't have time to ask a shaita, or you're not able to ask a shaita when they come up. You have to ask retrospectively. By the way, like most of the Tshuva Sfarim that we have, from like, you know, the Chassam Sofer and the Neid Biyuta and the Shaul Lameshiv and Shlomo Kluger, they're all about those kinds of things. You know, other than Heter Agunos, they're all, you know, retrospectively, because what would happen? You'd have a Shaila to ask. Your local rabbi wasn't sure, so you would send it to one of the Gedolei Adar, and then 3 months later, you might get a response. 3 months later, you ask the Hilchos Pesach Shaila, what's 3 months later going to do for you? Okay, good luck for next year. That's the way all the Tshuvas were written. They weren't really, Moshe Weiss pointed this out yesterday when he was talking to us. He said that very often that's the way the Tshuvas were written. The role of the community rabbi used to be very important, because when you actually needed to know what to do, that's who you would turn to. There wasn't always instant communication with Gedolei HaPoskim. But be that as it may, sometimes even a community rabbi won't help you. He's your middle Shmona Esrei, what are you supposed to do? So I'm reminded of the time I got a Shaila once, a rabbi told me that on Yom Kippur, or maybe it was Rosh Hashanah, the chazan for Musaf motioned for the rabbi to come over in middle of Chazaras Hashatz. And the chazan turned to the page in his machzor where Asher Yatzar was. And he started pointing to Asher Yatzar. And the rabbi's like, Asher Yatzar? No, you shouldn't say Asher Yatzar. What are you talking about? You're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. And he's like, you know, he's pointing to Asher Yatzar. He's like, oh, he needs to go to the bathroom. And he's the chazan, and he's in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. Okay, so you have sometimes where it's a middle shmoneh esrei that you can ask a shayla, but so that was anyway. That was this woman's shayla. So those are the two shaylas. We have the megillah that fell apart in the person's hand, and the young lady who was in the middle of davening shmoneh esrei decided to stop the middle shmoneh esrei, listen to the entirety of Kriyas HaMegillah, and then continue the shmoneh esrei. So she wanted to know if she's yotzei shmoneh esrei, if she's yotzei Kriyas HaMegillah, and what should she have done in given that situation. So is there a preference as to which one we should decide? I guess I'll address the room that's full of people and not the two. I see some twos in the air. Yeah, twos. Okay, so I guess we can discuss shayla number two. Okay, so anyone have what to suggest? Well, what's so good? Where do I look? How do we answer to such a shayla? Just excuse me, it's like 1,000 degrees in my office, and I have to take off my jacket. This place. Okay. Anyway, so what city do we look at?
She waited until Ligmar school, so it might be
She'll get to Ligmar school. What's considered a hafsik in Shmona Esrei, right? I mean, is a hafsik zman enough of a hafsik in Shmona Esrei? There's two types of hafsik, right? There's hafsik in zman, and then there's being mafsik by doing or saying something. I once had another shayla. A rabbi told me that he was in shul on Yom Kippur, and in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, they heard the chandelier rattling in the shul, and everyone looked up and they saw that there was a squirrel running around in the chandelier, and then the squirrel landed in the shul, and it wasn't middle of Chazaras Hashatz, it was middle of Salon Shmoneh Esrei. And everyone ran out. They were afraid of the squirrel. So everyone ran out of the shul. So the shayla was, can they continue once they get outside? Can they continue from where they're up to in Shmoneh Esrei? So that's a hafsik of not zman, not speaking. It's just movement that they went to a different place, right? So that's certainly one thing we're going to look into. I'm getting like feedback on the Zoom from the large room of people. Is there a way to like... Maybe just mute. Oh, thank you. So that's that shayla. So that's one issue. What else do we have to talk about over here, other than how much of hafsik Shmoneh Esrei is a hafsik, how much of hafsik Zman is a hafsik? So I think another thing you have to discuss is whether you can be yotzei another mitzvah right in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Does it work like that? Can you be yotzei another mitzvah? What exactly is Shomer Kaona? How does it work? So it happens to be that there's an interesting discussion. And then we can talk about whether Kriyas HaMegillah is different than other Shomer Kaona. Is Kriyas HaMegillah maybe not a regular Shomer Kaona Indian? Right? That's one of the explanations as to why it is that we discourage we hold the chachila, women should not read the Megillah for men, other than the public policy issues and a slippery slope and all of that stuff, which is real. That stuff is real. But other than that, there's the issue of halachically, like very strictly halachically, that number of the achronim, right, that women do not have the same chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah that men have. Whether it be because you assume that women are only chayiv in Mikra Megillah on a Drabbanan level, whereas men are chayiv in Divrei Kabbalah, because we dash from Pesukim in the Megillah, that there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah. So whereas women are only chayiv Kishamafi and Haibos Haneis, oh, this is a Pesachim issue, right? The Gemara in the 10th part of Pesachim talks about Afei Noi Bo Sanes, and Tosfos over there discusses whether Afei Noi Bo Sanes can apply to a mitzvah dal Raisa. Right? Tosfos wants to know, why don't we say Afei Noi Bo Sanes by Sukkah? Women are putz from Sukkah, why not say Afei Noi Bo Sanes that they're chayim in Sukkah? So, or why do I even need a limud to the Gemara, the assumption is that Gzer Shabbat Tezvav would have been Mechayiv that in Sukkah, But colors of Israel, Yeshua Sukkos, we have a limit to tell me that they're patim. So, but what about Afin Ribon Sinais? It also says 2 days when Afin Ribon Sinais can apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa or cannot apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa. And if it does apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa, is it a mechayev mid'oraisa? It's the 3rd day until it's from Rabbi Yosef Mishir Shayim, Mesachas Megillah. So it could be that women are only chayev mikro Megillah mid'rabbanan, because the mechayev of Afin Ribon Sinais may only be a mechayev mid'rabbanan, even if it does apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa, it may only be a mechayev mid'rabbanan. And we know Afin Ribon Sinais applies to mikro Megillah, so if it applies to a mitzvah mid'rabbanan, Kabbalah, it might only be mechayev them on a lesser level, on a d'rabbanan level. Or other authorities suggested, no, women are not chayivin mikra Megillah. Women are chayivin shmias Megillah. They don't have to say the Megillah. And therefore, if a woman is saying a bracha on Megillah, and only women are being yotzei, the bracha should be on the shema Megillah. It should not be on mikra Megillah. So maybe that makes a difference in the sugya of Shema Kohen. So let's maybe back up a step and look a little bit at the sugya of Shema Kohen. Chazal tells us in Misachs Rosh Hashanah, the kala bracha skula nafubi sheyatza motzi. That whenever you have a bracha, even if you already yotzei that bracha, you could still be motzi other people. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah quotes halacha shomea ke'on, right? That's a famous phrase. It's known as a whole sugya now, but it's a line in the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah that shomea is considered ke'on as sukkah daf lamed chesam and beis. That's why the Gemara says in the context of halal, and Rashi over there writes that she'en yodeh lo lekros v'lo lanos im shana v'kiva libo l'shmoa avu bishlo'ana yatza. That when, if you don't know how to say it yourself, and you hear from someone who does know how to say it, and you have kavana to be yotze when they say it, so if you have that kavana, you're going to be yotze. So there are a number of sfeikos that come up from this halacha. What if a person hears Kaddish Kedusha in the middle of Shemona Esrei? Is he allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Shemona Esrei when he hears Kaddish Kedusha by listening to the Kaddish Kedusha? Do we assume that, oh, that's going to ruin the whole Shemona Esrei? So we're familiar with that sugya. Rashi in Masechta Sukkah writes that the chayim is following the tzibur. If someone is davening the tzibur, the shatz omer Kaddish o yehishmei rabbi. And the Shliach Tzibur is up to Kaddish Riyesh Mei Rabba. Yishtuku b'tvilasar v'yishmu'u b'kavana. One should be silent in the tefillah, stop davening, and just listen. Vareim ke'onim. I'm not allowed to actually answer in Middle Shmona Esrei, but I can be ke'onim. I can listen and shomei ke'onim. Frank places in Masechta Sukkah. What on earth are you talking about? The Gemara writes in Masechta's Brachos, actually, let's leave out for a moment what exactly the kasha is. But Tosfos Masechta Sukkah points out that that seems to be against a Gemara in Masechta Brachos. And in fact, Tosfos writes that v'rach v'ri ha'yomrim da'adraba ishomer ka'ona ha'yav saka im shosei. If Shomea is Ke'ona, and you were to just sit there listening, then you were just mafsik, because it's Ke'ona. You actually said it. And we come back, no, go out and listen to the Shema, and that's just like throw something in there. Oh, by the way, the minute gets to do against what I just said, and God on him. It's always fascinating. Like, how do you deal with that? You know, it also says, it makes no sense. You're not yet to the mitzvah. But that's what everyone does, you know. The felt does like that, you know. The felt fears a zayin or whatever. So I remember my uncle Julius Berman said that one time in yeshiva in YU, Rav Soloveitchik was here for Shabbos, and Rav Soloveitchik spoke at Shalosh Shivas, and his whole shiur that he gave at Shalosh Shivas, he spoke a lot of this at Shalosh Shivas, I guess, and the whole shiur that he gave was about, in order to be motzi other people, you need to be mesa. You need to be, the Gemara Brachos talks about how it's not good enough to be standing in place. If you want to be motzi somebody else, to be motzi somebody else, you need to be kavua. So how are you kavei yourself? By doing a haseba, because it used to be when they did haseba, that's the way that you express kavius. Nowadays, we express kavius by sitting. That's why, by the way, a number of the acronyms suggest that you're supposed to sit for kiddush, because the only way you can be motzi other people in kiddush is by being kavei yourself. You need a sense of kavius in order to be motzi other people in a mitzvah. So that's what a number of the acronyms suggest. Why the meaning is that we sit for kiddush. The Rishonim seem to assume that we sit for kiddush. That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes that the only time you stand for kiddush is the first night of Sukkot. And the first night of Sukkot is because you have to make the bracha of Leshem Basukkah over Las Yassan. So you say the bracha before you sit, because you got to do it over Las Yassan. So you don't want to sit and then say the bracha. So it turns out that you have to say Kiddush standing up. So the Rambam says, so weird, you're saying Kiddush standing up on the first night of Sukkot. And the Rambam has Hasaga. And you know what the Hasaga of the Rambam is? The Rambam's Hasaga is not, nah, we stand for Kiddush all the time. The Rambam's Hasaga is, even on Sukkot you should sit for Kiddush. You always sit for Kiddush. Anyway, so that's so the Rishonim was amazing. So one of the explanations of why you would sit is because you're being koveya yourself in that space. So Rav Salvation once gave a shiur about how everyone should sit for Abdallah. That Tosfos writes in Maseches Brachos that really the proper thing is that you're supposed to sit for Abdallah, and explain why Tosfos assumes that way. And that's the only way to be motzi other people, Yidei Chavasa. And then it came Eis Shabbos, right? It came Motzai Shabbos, and they davened Maariv, and Rav Soloveitchik was honored with saying Havdalah for everybody, and Rav Soloveitchik stood for Havdalah. So all the Talmidim came up to Yalam Dener Rabbeinu. You just gave a whole shiur for an hour explaining why you have to sit for Havdalah to be motzi other people. Why don't you stand? And Rav Soloveitchik said, because my father stood for Abdallah, and my grandfather stood for Abdallah. Which, by the way, when your last name is Soloveitchik, it means a little bit more than it does when your last name is just about anything else. He said that that's my tradition, that's my minhag, so that's what we do. So I stand for Abdallah. It doesn't matter, I can give all the lumpers to explain what I'm supposed to do. So you almost get that vibe from Tosfos over here also, that if Shomei Kohen is really Kohen, it's going to be a hefsek. But God alone, but you should follow the minhag anyway, and do like Rashi says, and stand there silently and listen to the kedusha, which is what we pass to the shofar. That's what we do. But Tosfos says, in principle, you shouldn't be doing that. That's always a question. Whenever you have a kid in Torah, in halacha, does kid mean similar to or exactly as? Right? Is Shomer Ke'ona? Is it Mamish Ona? Is it exactly as Ona? Or is it no? Shomer is Ke'ona. It's Ona-ish. You know, it's similar to, but it's not quite like being Ona. So Rashi seems to be assuming that Shomer Ke'ona, it's Ona-ish, but it's that you're not actually saying words, and therefore you're not actually being mafsik, and it's perfectly fine. Whereas Tulsa seems to work with the assumption that no, Shomea Ke'ona means that it's Mahamish Ona, and therefore it's going to be a Hefsit. So Beis Yosef quotes this Machlokas Rashi and Tulsa, and you would think that in Machlokas Rashi and Tulsa, where Tulsa gave up, you know, Tulsa says, I concede, it's Minug. I don't know why Tosfos didn't say that about tefillin, right? I mean, that's a big question of why it is Rabbi Gatam tefillin and different than Rashi tefillin. Like, what do they have in their tefillin? So different approaches to that. I'm not going to get into that right now. But anyway, so you would think if Tosfos gave up, there's nothing to talk about. Beis Yosef's job should be easy. Okay, that should be only Paskin. But then Beis Yosef quotes Rabbi Yom. Rabbi Yom says, the davar shetali ba amudei olam ein lanu koach lachriya b'nem uda avid kemar avid uda avid kemar avid. Also, unusual, he says, these Gedolei Achronim are arguing about it. How could I be Machriya? Gedolei Rishonim, they're arguing about it. How could I be Machriya? They're not arguing. Tosfos gave up. Tosfos said that'll do what Rashi says. That's God alone. No, Tosfos didn't agree with that in principle. And therefore, David Kamar, you could choose whichever way you want. Which is also always tricky. When do you say that? When do you say David Kamar, that you get to choose? And when do you say, no, you got a basket. It's always very hard to like formulate exact rules when it comes to Psak Halach. Now, there are attempts to do so, and there are certain general Klalei Psak. When you get to the Pratim, it's very hard. Someone was just asking me yesterday, as a Talmud of Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita, do you have to paskin every single Shaila exactly the way Rav Schachter would paskin? And if so, how come people in your shul drink milk? You know, like things like that. So the answer is no, you don't have to. But when do you have to? When don't you have to? It's not so easy to come up with rules of exactly when you should, when you shouldn't. I mean, usually it's when you think, if you learn through the sugya and you feel like you have an understanding of the sugya and why this posik says that way and the other posik says the other way, and even though you have a netiyah toward your rebbe, certainly you're more nota in that direction, but if there are a lot of compelling reasons to go in the other direction and you feel that you understand the sugya very well, so you're allowed to pasuk in the other way. We once asked Rosh Hashanah, when do you pasuk in like Rosh Hashanah? And when do you pass him against for salvation? So it was such a funny line. He responded. He said, I think when Rav Soloveitchik is correct, we pass him like Rav Soloveitchik, and when Rav Soloveitchik is incorrect, we pass him against Rav Soloveitchik. Meaning that I have a brain also, so I'm allowed to study the sugya and come out. I mean, not just a brain. Reshef is obviously Higiel or Ra'a, and then some. So he has every right to pass him the Shaila also. He doesn't have to be tough on every issue. But sometimes you say Dabu Gemara, Dabu Gemara. Sometimes you say you have to pass him. So anyway, in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen, Kuf Dalid, Eino Posik, Lo Lekadosh, Lo Lekadosha. You're not supposed to stop in order to answer Kadosh Kedusha. Ella Yishtok V'Yechavi Namasha Omer Shnei Tzibur V'Yehei Kit on it. You should just sit, stand there quietly and listen, have kavana, and that's Kit on it. And that way you yield the chiyuv of Kaddish and Kedusha, even though it doesn't count as a hafzik. That's what we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. And what is the Nekudas HaMachlokes? So as we explained, Rav Yosef Engel puts good, lashonos to it. Rav Yosef Engel was, I don't think I ever heard of Rav Yosef Engel until I came to YU, until I came to Rav Shachter Shir, after Karen Biavna. Maybe Rav Silver quoted Rav Yosef Engel a few times, and I just don't remember. But Rav Yosef Engel, Rav Shachter's a big fan. He loves to quote Rav Yosef Engel. So Rav Yosef Engel, Rav Yosef Engel has two different kinds of svarim. He has svarim that are just like chidush. Chidush and Shas, whatever, Gedolei Shas, which are also interesting and a little bit out of the box. Then he's got like way out of the box. He's got like these essays that are topics that no one even thought to write about before. And he made up topics and he showed how they're really topics in Halacha. And he had this total mastery of all the Nigla and Nistar. And then when he thought of a Chakira that no one thought of, and he said, I can think of 26 writers, 18 in this direction and 8 in the other direction. And he sort of left you hanging at the end a lot of times. But so Rav Yosef Engel, Tziyunim LaTorah, discusses this issue, and he writes that the mechulakim bazeh, machlokas Rashi and Tosfos is about this. He had the shemayah kohen hakavana to have a kit ona bidiburo, mimela have a sit, or kavana rak didino kaona be'etzem hashmiya kimon sheyotzim ba'aniya. Avalina shmiya chashuva aniya klal. Is it that when you hear, that is ki'ilu, you are saying? So what he's doing, that's you. You're doing it now. The guy reading the Megillah is the one that's actually reading, but you're reading too because you're listening. Or is it no, that the chiddush of Shemei Kalan is just like reading the Megillah is enough to be yotzei the mitzvah, hearing the Megillah is also considered an aniyah. It's considered to be like reading the Megillah. And Rashi would obviously assume the second way, that it's not that you're actually being aniyah, because that would be a hafzik, but hearing the Megillah is kin aniyah. And that's a similar machlokas that they have between the Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish and the Gedder of Shemei Kalan. Beis Halevi says that if you hear something, it's considered ki'ilu, you yourself are aniyah. He says, therefore, there's no din of Shemei Kalan of Birchas Kohanim. What do you mean, no din of Shemei Kalan of Birchas Kohanim? Of course, it's din of Shemei Kalan of Birchas Kohanim. We all listen to the Birchas Kohanim and we get blessed. No, Beis Halevi was discussing a different topic. Beis Halevi was talking about that there was a community that someone visited once, and they noticed that there was only all the Kohanim would go up to Duchen, and only one Kohen would actually Duchen. A lot of times in the community, they have a hard time, the Kohanim have a hard time agreeing on what the proper niggin is to sing during Birchas Kohanim. Everyone's niggin, they swear, came from the Beis HaMikdash, right? That they, that's the only one that has a real tradition, and the other one is wrong. But Lamaisa, you have different minhagim of what to sing, and sometimes with our mixed communities, where we come from all different parts of Europe, and we all ended up, in Northwoodmere, let's say, we have all these different practices. I guess you have in Eretz Yisrael, even more so, like Mamash, Kibbutz Goliath, that we see happening in front of our eyes. My son Shalvin told me that the minigin yeshiva there, which I do not understand, but the minigin yeshiva there is that what nusach do they daven in yeshiva? Whatever the shliach tzibur decides. The smarty guy gets up and davens for the army. So it's Svartik that day. If nusach svar, so it's nusach svar that day. Because how do you handle kibbutz goliath? How do you handle all these different minhagim? So anyway, so this community that Beis HaLevi is discussing came up with the following chah. They decided that they're going to have one Kohen do all the Birchas Kohanim, and the other Kohanim will just stand there, you know, they'll have their hands, you know, look at them, they'll stand there and they'll listen, and they'll be Yotzi Birchas Kohanim. Shomei Kohanim says basically, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because Shomei Kohanim doesn't mean that what he's doing is me doing. Meaning that what the guy is saying is that I'm saying. Shomei Kohanim is a chiddush that it's ki'ilu I said words. But it's not ki'ilu I said the words as he is saying them. Meaning, there is a din by Birchas Kohanim that's supposed to be called Ram. It's supposed to be Kadam Amar al Chaver. It's supposed to be engaging the tzibur. That's why Rav Shachter, I once asked Rav Shachter, I know that he holds, you probably all know that Rav Shachter holds that you're allowed to, and most people really hold if you really ask them, that you're allowed to look during Birchas Kohanim. The whole thing of like schwitzing under your father's talus or whatever, right? That's it's like an old minhag from when the Kohanim used to stick their hands out of the talus. But the Kohanim don't do that anymore. They keep their hands inside the talus. The Kohanim always keep their hands inside the talus. So you're not seeing anything anyway. So you're allowed to look during Birchas Kohanim. In fact, when I first learned Halachas of Birchas Kohanim, I started looking so I could identify which Kohanim needed the tutorial. And Halachas of Birchas Kohanim, a lot of the Kohanim were doing it all wrong. They were holding their hands incorrectly in the wrong place. They were lifting their hands over their head, over their shoulders. So you're not supposed to do any of that. It's supposed to be straight up. Anyway, so so you're allowed to look. So I asked Rosh Hashanah, okay, you're allowed to look, but why do you have to do it? Meaning, obviously, it's not what everybody else is doing. So it's like, it's going to be different. You have to, mamash, look straight ahead. It's going to be weird for a lot of people to see that. So I didn't ask him such a chutzpah diktah, and I'm terrified of talmidei chacham. When I talk to them, I just sit there the whole time. But I asked, so why are you dafka knowing that way? So he said, because that's proper derech eretz. Someone's giving you a bracha, you're supposed to look at them. That's why the amsha achareya kohanim b'nayos. You shouldn't be behind the kohanim. You have to make sure that you're in front of them. It's face to face. They say b'kol ram. So says the Beis HaLevi, the Kohen who's saying the brachos out loud may be motzi the other Kohanim in saying the brachos, then shomei kol, but it's not ke'ona b'kol ram. So the etzem hashtika is considered aniya, but it's not considered, so the Beis HaLevi, it would work with Tosfos that the shtika and shmona esrei and hearing kaddish and kedusha would be a hafsik because it is saying the words. It's just, you just don't have the additional details of how to say the words. That's why there's a practice in many places that when it comes to Aseres Bnei Haman, the Rabbi Shavuot, and when it comes to Aseres Bnei Haman, they say it in the Shema Achaz, that the whole Tzibur, not just the Balkari, the whole Tzibur says it in the Shema Achaz. Everyone reads the Aseres Bnei Haman by themselves. It's Shema Akorni, you don't say it with the Balkari anyway. No, I'm yet with the Balkari anyway. Yotzi with Balkari that he's reading the Megillah, or Yotzi Neshima Achaz. Neshima Achaz is a how to. Maybe not Yotzi that way. Whereas the Chazon Ish writes that the Gedder of the Din in Arachayim Simu Chavtas, Chazon Ish writes that the Gedder of the Din of Shomei Kone is his Lashon, his Achtus HaShomea VaHamashmiya. The Shomea and Mashmiya are linked. That through Arvus, the Dibur of the Mashmiya is a mitzvah on the Shomeya. So by hearing his Dibur, you are misachet, you are linking up with his statement, and you're therefore yotzei through Shomeya Ka'one. So it's not that I'm actually saying anything, it's that what he's doing counts for me. And that's how they explain that Chazon Ish and Beis HaLevi may be arguing in this exact machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos exactly how to understand Shomei Kohanim. So where does that bring us as far as Megillah is concerned? The woman's in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and she listens to the entirety of the Megillah. So does she Yotzei? So I don't see any reason that she should not be Yotzei in Megillah. I actually came across a tshuva written in more contemporary times from a sefer that I was not familiar with. But nevertheless, it was an interesting tshuva. What was the name of the sefer? The name of the sefer was called Madane Yom Tov, but a contemporary Madane Yom Tov. So I'm not sure which Madane Yom Tov it is, who exactly it is. But in this sefer, he was asked about a Bachur Yeshiva that had a similar situation to this young lady, but a little bit different. You see, there's a difference between a boy's mindset and a girl's mindset. That's the understatement of it. There are many differences between a boy's mindset and a girl's mindset. When I taught in boys' high school for 18 years, I never taught in girls' high school, but a lot of my chaverim were teaching in SKA while I was teaching in DRS. And they pointed out that if you give a lot of work, you give like an assignment with a lot of work to do. So boys have, the girls will always figure out how to plan to make sure that they get their work done, to make sure that they diligently work to make sure that the work gets done. Boys will diligently work to figure out how to not have to do the work. They'll put in all the same amount of time in order to figure out how to not have to do the work. So different mindset. So this young lady that we asked the Shem about, she stopped and listened diligently to the entire Megillah. The young man in the Shaila, in the Madane Yom Tov, in Chela Gimel Simen Pei Tavit, it was a mice of the Bachar Echad, she's called Shmon Esri Bilel Purim, the Herich Betilaso, Val Valkori Hischi Lukra Megillah, exactly the same situation. HaBachar Lo Yada, Mal Asot, he didn't know what should I do. V'lachem, him Shech Lispalel, he decided to keep on davening, V'gam Hiskavim, the Kolmiru, Omiru, Sheshomer Balkari. And at the same time, that he's davening, he's also listening to every word from the Balkari. He finished his davening on the Balkari, he was two prakim into the Megillah, and he continued listening to the Megillah until the end. So he wants to know, now as I was a Yotze Mimitzu, when I heard the Megillah from while I was davening Shmon Esrei. That's a different, that's a different mindset. He thinks he's able to have kavanah for both, and he hears every single word, even as, and I bet, as I'm saying it, talking to Bachman now, some of you are thinking, yeah, I can do that. That's not really the way, something's not happening the way it's supposed to happen, right? Either Kriyas HaMegillah, or Shmona Esrei, or my bet, both are not happening the way it's supposed to happen. Maybe trying to do both at the same time. So that was his shayla. So in the shayla of Madani Yoto, we discuss is whether he gets to the whole thing. Is it ka'one manish for Yishamei, and therefore it's like you're being mafsik b'diburo. So he gets into the whole discussion. At the end, he says, "Ayotzi l'dina, if you daven Shmona Esrei and you heard the Balkari, you start with some Megillah, and you listen to every single word of the Megillah, while you continue mistaver shlo yotzi dechavos Megillah." Because how can you be yotzi two chiyuvim bebasachas? It can't be. You're not yotzi kriyas Megillah. Great, that's for that guy who continued to daven Shmona Esrei. So I agree that he's not yotzi kriyas Megillah in such a situation. But someone who stopped and listened, so I think there's no doubt that the woman is yotzi kriyas Megillah, right? There's no doubt that she's yotzi kriyas Megillah. The bigger shaila is she yotzi Shmona Esrei? Right, is the hefsek considered enough of the hefsek that she's going to have to daven Shmona Esrei again? So that really gets a little bit tricky because we discussed the Gef Kaddish, Kedusha, something like that. What about other things that are mafsek in the middle of Shmona Esrei? The other things might come up in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Do we say the same thing that if you silently listen, you're supposed to silently listen, and if you do, that it's going to work? In Alicha Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in Kriyas HaTorah, Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, Parak Dalin, I mean, Halacha Dalin, he writes, Ha'omei b'tfil Shmon Esri, v'yigiyat zimur l'kriyas HaTorah, lo yafsik tfilas b'tfil Shmon Kriya. Don't be mafsik to hear Kriyas HaTorah in the middle. Why not? I thought you're allowed to be mafsik and listen, as long as you don't say anything. So he writes, Tehafsik gadol kazeh e'moi lasas b'shas tfilasa. Because you shouldn't have such a hafsik right in the middle of your Shmon Esri. But you are Yotze. At the end of the day, you're going to be Yotze. In Ilkhsiyas Kapayim, which Shlomo Zalman writes, or it was written in his name, it's very reliable. Rabbi Goldberg, who wrote the Aldecha Shlomos, which Shlomo Zalman's grandson, is one of the more reliable versions of Torahs for Shlomo Zalman that didn't come from Shlomo Zalman himself. There are a lot of different svarim of Shlomo Zalman's Torah. Some more, whatever. But Halicha Shlomo is a very well-respected thing. So, Yachara Omeid B'Shmona Esrei, V'Yigia Shatza Birchus Kohanim, Yishtot V'Yichad in the Birchus. Birchus Kohanim, you should be shown sick and listen. Why? So he says, because it's a mitzvah on the Bnei Yisrael to be misbarech, so you should take advantage of that mitzvah saseh and be misbarech. That's always the question. When you have someone who's able to do a mitzvah, but they cannot do that, and you have no chiyuv in the mitzvah, but they cannot do the mitzvah without you. So do you, by definition, become a chiyuv in the mitzvah? Right? Is there such a thing that there's a mitzvah on Yisraelim to be misbarech from Kohanim? Kohanim have a mitzvah to be mevarek. But if there are no Yisrael, they're going to be listening, and there's no one to be mevarek. It's similar to whenever I talk to the Chasan and Kala about Puruvu. So we say, you have a mitzvah Puruvu, turning to the Chasan, and I say, it's your mitzvah, you're including this mitzvah Puruvu. And I turn to the Kala and say, but he's going to have a very hard time fulfilling the mitzvah without your help. So that's a shayla. Does she become a mechuyev b'davar on some level because she's unable to, because he's unable to do the mitzvah without that help? So a hefsek in Shmoneh Esrei, apparently Shlomo Zalman says, you mean major hefsek, you probably shouldn't do it, probably shouldn't pause for that long in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch Paskin, I forgot to take a Shulchan Aruch out before, but in Shulchan Aruch Paskin, if I recall correctly, Shulchan Aruch says that if you're mafsek de likmor eskula, that that's a hefsek in your Shmoneh Esrei. And how do you measure Kedei Likmor Eskula? The Shulchan Aruch himself writes, I think it's not even Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch himself writes that Kedei Likmor Eskula is kefi each person. That, you know, some people daven a very long Shmoneh Esrei, so that's Kedei Likmor Eskula. It's going to be a much longer time than a person who davens a very quick Shmoneh Esrei. Rav Asher Weiss was just telling us yesterday that his Rebbe, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, you were never able to predict. Like, sometimes it would be like an 8-minute Shmoneh Esrei, sometimes it would be a 48-minute Shmoneh Esrei. Like, you were never able to, because he davened like someone talking. So sometimes you have a lot to beg Hashem about. You would also, in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, just like start speaking Yiddish and talking to Hashem. So that's an interesting discussion. But Meir Arik is a tshuva about whether you're allowed to do that. They say the Kleisenberger Rebbe was one who asked him that shayla. See, that was his practice. He used to do that all the time. He'd be like, hey, look at the shepherd, like right in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Man, that's so much our style. But so at the end of the day, for this Shaila, she waited for David Moraskula. I would think she's not Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei because she waited for David Moraskula, even with her very slow Shmoneh Esrei. It's a while to read the Megillah. So she waited for David Moraskula. I would think that she's not Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei. So she is Yotzei Kriyas Megillah. Should she have done that? Probably not. Probably the right answer in that situation is to keep davening Shmoneh Esrei and go catch Kriyas Megillah at a later minyan or at a later place. It's annoying because, you know, you woke up early, the doctor go to this minyan, you don't want to have to go to another minyan. Okay, Jews have been most nefesh in even bigger ways than that in the history of our people. And, you know, sometimes that's what you have to do because that's the halakha. So I would think that that's the proper thing. So say Shmoneh Esrei again, not have to lay Megillah again, but had she known in advance, the right thing to do probably would have been to finish the Shmoneh Esrei, be Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei, and then be carrying Hear Megillah from someone else later. Okay, do we want to open up the floor to questions, or did we, was I supposed to, there was something else I was supposed to, I'll talk about Ben Azmanim a little bit, Shmoneh, you tell me.
Yeah, but can I quickly ask a question on the point, Rebbe, does that?
Yeah, sure.
We said that the Shmoneh Esrei, she's not going to be Yotze. Would it make a difference, since she's a woman, her field of Shmoneh Esrei is different than that of a man? And also, would it make a difference if it's morning as opposed to night, where she already davened once? So her din of field would be a little different.
Meaning whether she's mechuyev to go back and do anything might make a difference. But as far as whether she's actually, as far as whether she's actually Yotze, meaning whether it's a hefsek and whether she... Meaning, if she wants to be Yotzei Shabbos, this happened to be Shabbos, but if she actually wants to be Yotzei Davening Shabbos, so I don't think it makes a difference. I mean, a hefsek is a hefsek. Either way, a hefsek is going to be a hefsek.
Does it also make a difference if she knows she won't be able to catch another Megillah?
That's interesting. Meaning, if she knows this is the last Megillah, let's say it's a... Right, she lives in a small community, there's no one else that's going to lay in the Megillah, the person who's reading right now, or whatever. Let's say it was Mincha time, it was the end of the day, and that's it. There's not going to be any other Megillah. Well, Mincha time is a bad example, because then she's sacrificing one or the other. So, yeah, so then that's interesting. Because she's definitely Mechuyev in the Megillah. The Chiyev in Tefillah may not be so strong if she's already davened a little bit. Okay, that's a good wrinkle to add in. I don't know. It's an interesting shadow. Okay. Anything else?
Would there be a difference between the morning and night Megillah reading, one being Jabana and one being Divrei Kabbalah?
So it's not clear that everyone holds that. I mean, it's pretty clear not everybody holds that, right? Even is the Yehuda like this, that the Kriyas HaMegillah Ben Yom is Midirei Kabbalah, whereas the Kriyas HaMegillah Ben Night is only Midirabanan. There are many Pasuk that hold that the Kriya both Ben Yom and Belayla are Midirei Kabbalah, and others that hold that they're both Midirabanan. It's not abundantly clear that we pass in the Halacha that one is Midirei Kabbalah and one is Midirabanan. What if you arrive late for Bar and have a choice of the first, then Marit? I'm reading the comment in the chat. Oh, it's sent to me privately. Okay, right now, I mean, it's a private question. What if you arrive late for Marit and have a choice of Megillah first, then Marit? For Marit, then must find another Megillah. Does Marit have to come before Megillah? No, I think you can hear Megillah first in that situation. I think that's the practice, common practice.